These promises are not completely truthful. Whatever the Keeler gets out of an initiation will depend entirely on himself. He cannot under any circumstances get anything greater than his own spiritual unfoldment demands. This is the crux of the whole teaching of ECKANKAR. One would not expect to become a highly evolved engineer should his talents be developed for music. Not that it isn't possible, but he is not likely to succeed because of a lack of interest plus other factors. This is especially true in the spiritual works. Too many times a wife or husband will practically twist the mate's arm to become interested in the same studies. This is foolish because we find that while one is spiritually unfolded to certain levels, the other mate is not. Therefore the best thing to do is to leave the uninterested mate alone. This situation offers a problem to the master when the initiation is to be given to one member of a married couple and the other has no interest. The master should explain to the Keeler that he must discuss the initiation with his mate before it is given. If an agreement is reached between the two parties involved, initiation is then made possible for the one who requested it. 73. However, should the other mate desire also to have the initiation with the Keeler who requested it, the request should be granted although he may not have the prescribed requirement. One of the purposes of the spiritual path is to keep the family intact, not separate it, and if those within a family are going to withdraw into themselves to try to force others within the family unit to take the same path, they should drop it and take away which is agreed upon by one another. The initiations in ECK are the oldest of any secret society. They have been used since the dawn of time. The citizens of the spiritual city of Agam Des in the Western Himalayas are initiates on the path of ECK. These are the Eshwar Cane Whale, or what we know in English as the God Eaters, those who consume the cosmic energy instead of material food. When the Keeler has advanced to the third initiation, he is able to visit this city ruled by the benevolent ECK Master Yorba Sakabi. As he travels onward into the heart of God, the Keeler will pass through further initiations, each one a test, until he was finally entered into the total awareness of the Sigmad, the secret kingdom of God. Some of the tests are given by the ECK masters, the keepers of the Sharat Kai Sigmad in the Golden Wisdom Temples on the different planes where the Keeler studies. These masters determine when the Keeler is ready for study on the next higher plane, where he will take up advanced work of ECK. When he has developed to a certain level and is ready to go to the Golden Wisdom Temple, the master gives him an initiation which will send him into the higher realms. If anyone desires to give an initiation to a Keeler which keeps him in the lower levels like the Transcendental Meditation Technique, or those which are concerned with only self-realization, or the Universal Mind, then the teacher is doing the Keeler a disfavor. He will have little advancement on the spiritual path. Mantra yoga will not carry anyone further than the mental plane. Despite the claims made by the practitioners and, 74, teachers in their field. Often the leaders in mantra yoga will speak of the realm of pure thought, but this only reveals their arena of operation. They are not working on the true spiritual planes, but in the realm of the mental worlds where the negative power is still king. Neither do the advocates of self-realization bring lasting peace, for they are only reaching the soul plane, fifth plane, where the knowledge is that of self-realization. Again, this is not reaching the God-realization state. Self-realization is self-knowledge, and God-realization is God-knowledge. We find that when anyone has a stipend in any monetary way for initiation, he is breaking the spiritual law. No true spiritual master asks anything for an initiation. He gives from the love of giving and expects nothing in return. No remuneration is expected from the Keeler to receive the initiations in ECK. After he receives the second initiation, he is entitled to a series of monthly letters called the Wisdom Notes, which are for the initiates alone. He takes up the study of the Sharat Kai Sigmad because he has advanced this far in his spiritual unfoldment. All comes to him now without any material payment on his part because he has earned the right to study the higher secret teachings. Until one has earned this right, he is still under the law of karma and must work with its exacting demands of compensation. 75. the impotency of meditation as a way of enlightenment. Meditation, like prayer, has been a traditional ritual in religious and philosophical circles. It is perhaps one spiritual method of seeking God enlightenment which has been a universal failure, especially with the Occidental seekers of light. This is practically heresy to those who have been steeped in this orthodox method of seeking realization of any spiritual nature. Yet the statement is true due to the fact that we in the Occidental world have been grossly misled about the Hindu religious methods of worship, not only by the Indians but generally by the Westerners who are leaders in the religious and philosophical fields. Meditation is a word that fits almost every technique which is used for seeking God realization. But the word as we are using it here means sitting in passive silence awaiting the descent of God's light into the practitioner. This is the Hindu religious way of meditation. But sitting in silence and doing nothing certainly does not create an atmosphere of activity. It tends to make the participant a more passive person, and if practiced long enough he will come close to a state of neurosis. This has been established in the fields of psychology and psychiatry as a truth. It has become known that many people who have turned to meditation as given by the Orientals have 76, reached a state of ill health and were compelled to seek medical attention. We find a difference between the followers of the traditional Hindu religious meditation methods and those who are practitioners of the spiritual exercises of Akankar. The difference is that so many who try to practice meditation are not prepared for it and will sooner or later become the effects of their own efforts. We also find that this type of meditation will bring little more than visions which must be separated to tell reality from the pseudo. So many of these visions are within the practitioner's own little universe. But they are accepted as something sent by the Supreme Deity as part of the universal worlds, as a reward for the practitioner's faith and devotion in keeping to his periods of meditation. This self-deception is not always the fault of the practitioner, for he has nothing by which to measure these subjective experiences. Thus he must accept them as truth because he does not know any better. The spiritual exercises of ECK give their own participants a yardstick to measure whether the reality gained from out-of-the-body consciousness is truth. Those practicing these exercises are able to gain judgment and discrimination about their own abilities to travel into the other worlds and their experiences for survival of soul. This is the main difference between the spiritual exercises of ECK and the meditation practice of the Hindu religion. Those who practice ECK are able to travel to the Godhead and return to the physical body. Those who practice meditation are only able to create some condition by which they hope the attributes of the Godhead will descend into themselves within the physical body. Meditation is merely a passive state in which one tries to draw the light into himself while sitting in a position called the asana, which is one's posture for trying to attain oneness with the light and sound forces. 77. Nothing comes of using this method because we are dealing here with a situation which is for specialists, these being the ones who have worked with this method for many years, usually from childhood, and have lived in a climate that is conducive to their thinking and feeling toward God realization. I am speaking here of the Oriental holy men who are able to withstand austerities by living in remote places, especially caves in the high Himalayas. By their long periods of silence and ability to do without food and the normal comforts of life, they attain some success with the meditation method, as an unfolding toward God. It is certainly true that few Occidentals can succeed at such a path to God because we are not conditioned to the Herculean tasks of such monstrous concentrative periods. If a man puts himself into silence for 15 years or more, he certainly has an endurance beyond the capacity of normal people. But to what purpose? If he withdraws from life, what does he gain by his austerities and lack of social contact? The usual claim is that he is in contact with God. If this be true, then why didn't the anchorites, of the 4th and 5th centuries after Christ, add something to the spiritual development of mankind and the sacred writings of the Church? None of these people who choose to suffer hardships in silence in the name of God make any worthwhile spiritual records for us to follow. In my own personal research, it's been found that those who claim to have spent long periods in silence and to have come out of it with great truths give us pause to wonder at what they claim to have discovered. Frankly, Most of what they have found within these periods of silence, after years of it, was something that might have already been known to a small segment of the public at large. In one case particularly, it was found that the leader of a popular religious cult claimed to have discovered a new transcendental meditation technique after spending 16 years in meditative silence. What he had to give after this unusually 78 long period away from social contact only turned out to be a mental method which was generally well known among well-informed students in the spiritual fields. One asks himself, of what good then is it to spend such tremendous time in meditation if he is not to gain some god light and wisdom? The purpose of man is to live here on earth in a dual role. He is both spiritual and physical and cannot live entirely as either so long as he is encased in the temple of flesh. He will be able to rise into the god state and remain there for a time and then must descend again into the human state of consciousness. It is only when we are able to get beyond this physical life, after death, that it is possible to rise into the God state of consciousness and remain there. But we must prepare for this by learning to project ourselves into it and dwelling there temporarily while living in the flesh, so we will be able to reach the secret kingdom for permanent residence following demise of the human body. This is why meditation will not resolve the condition of God consciousness for any of us while in the body. The spiritual exercises of ECK are the only path that will give us the opportunity of entering into the God state temporarily while in the human body. These exercises are not at all conducive to passive action. It is true that the practitioner of ECK sits still while doing the exercises, but we know that there is still action about them. We leave this state of consciousness and go into another plane, leaving the physical body so that we can receive the light and sound forces which flow down into the body via soul, which is out in the invisible worlds, and which is acting as a channel for these twin powers of God. The very difference here between the two systems is that the meditation technique does not enable the individual to leave the physical state. He receives the light into himself, that is the physical body, directly in the meditation period. Often this cosmic light is so strong that it will wreck the body in the same way as too much electrical voltage. In time the body will be, 79, broken down and ill health results. Should we study the lives of many saints who believed that meditation was the proper path to God, it would be found they all passed away in bad health. But those practicing the methods of ECK or similar ones were healthy far beyond their years, and had an unusual longevity. As just stated, those capable of leaving their physical bodies and receiving the light via the Atmasarup, soul body, will have longevity and good health. All benefits which we have expected in life will come to us, and eventually we will return to the heavenly kingdom and become co-workers with God. 80. Meditation, Eastern versus Akankar. Meditation is making use of the feminine principle in order to reach the Godhead. It is part of the duality of the lower worlds, and that with which we will be making contact unless we recognize it in time. We find that the use of this method over a long period of time tends to make the users of it more effeminate than ever. The users of the ECK exercises will grow in strength and freedom. The mistaken idea that many have and the use of the techniques of meditation is that we grow more godlike in nature. Since God is neither feminine nor masculine of itself, then we are falling into the trap of the negative power which throws up the illusions of misunderstanding. We cannot go any further than the mental plane with the meditation technique, therefore the use of it still confines us to the lower worlds. If we should take a look at the state of the Oriental countries, their wisdom does not seem to have been very effective at home. They appear to be in a greater state of confusion than those in the Occidental world. Therefore we must realize that most of the Eastern religious teachings, like their other ways of life, were in any case clearly designed for the Eastern way of living, for countries where a hot climate and general poverty is conducive to contemplation and, 81, inactivity. These teachings work even less effectively in the Western countries, where the cultural traditions are outward-looking, active and optimistic. Except for a few holy men, we find the usual Oriental character much like that of the nations of the rest of the world, which includes such traits as selfishness, hypocrisy, arrogance, immaturity and materialism. A few are living in wealth and comfort while the masses are starving. They are different from the Western people because their world has burdened them with different problems. Their climate, with inescapable yearly cycles of flood and drought, has fostered the world's gloomiest religion. Centuries of undernourishment have left them with weak bodies, and they only expect to live about half the years we do. Therefore, their holy men have developed the passive meditation state, which is good for their followers because it tends to deal with the problems of escape. In principle, it is the same as one reading for the purpose of getting away from the reality of life. It simply cannot be done, for no matter how much time we spend in meditation and what airy feelings are received in this state, it does not resolve the problems of having to face the affairs of the day in this world. One highly respected spiritual leader stated not long ago in a pulpit that it was ridiculous that the Beatles and many others had to go to the East in order to try to learn about God. They should have been sent there because they represent life, love, success and happiness. All that the East represents is starvation, misery and a few creditable spiritual teachers, but there is only one avatar and one path, and he is not in India. What they will find is hardly worth the time, because it will be a pseudo-spirituality which is hiding a vast amount of materialism. This is the trap that the unwary fall into, those who have not had experience in the spiritual ways of life. The same results can be gained in a church ritual as in the meditation act, only an emotional uplift against which sooner or later the body will cause, 82, a rebellion. Then it will show evidence of those karmic effects, as in the case of Ramakrishna, the new prophet of India, who died early in life of throat cancer. Therefore we find that meditation is not fitted for the Western nature. We must learn to use the spiritual exercises of ECK, which bring about enlightenment by lifting soul beyond any of the spirito-material planes, such as the astral, causal, and mental. The worlds of the lower planes, such as these just named, are not considered in the works of ECK except to pass through into the Godhead. Many people who come to me say they do not want to be bothered with the lower worlds but want to make direct contact with God. They are simply not willing to go through the preparation to enter into the finality of the Absolute. Meditation brings one into the mental plane, where the user becomes one with all things. Those who practice the spiritual exercises of ECK learn that one does not become one with God, and doesn't have the established union with God, as claimed by the Hindu religionist, but becomes a co-worker with the Supreme Deity. There is a vast difference in this, for being one with God, we are living in a passive useless state, but as a co-worker with God we are the active worker with a divine mission to be re-established somewhere in the universes of the spiritual kingdom, to do our spiritual assignment for and with the Supreme Deity, as described in the Sharat Gai Sigmad, the sacred writings of those who follow it. Kankar 83, is the New Age Messiah in our midst? The question of the New Age Messiah has been one which is under constant discussion by those who are directly interested in spiritual and religious matters of the present times. The whole point which is being presented here is whether the Messiah for this present age has made his appearance, and how do we judge whether he is with us now. Certain factors and events which are coming about somewhat prove that we are blessed with his presence. Since the advent of Ekankar into the modern world, starting about 1935, the crises in human affairs have become more intense and now seem at the bursting point. It appears that this ancient teaching, which has made its way back into the attention of the world, after lying dormant for centuries, is here for a purpose. That is to bring a stronger spiritual strength to all those who become its followers. The Ancient One, the agent of God, whom we call the Messiah, or the Godman, appears in the world with every new age. Now he has appeared with the age-old teachings of ECK, which will give the human race a spiritual boost, taking many over the crises into the realm of God. The way will be perfectly clear now that many can see where the path of God is leading them. The Buddhist scriptures speak of the matriarch who comes for 84, this age, to take the followers of Buddhism back to God. That he is to be born on a body of water, where horses graze upon the shores, and where the fields are green. He is an occidental who shall not sit in the lotus position, but will occupy a straight chair and put his feet on the floor. Many have claimed they were the present world Messiah, but the proof is not in evidence. The deliverance of the universal world message must be an age-old teaching. ECK is a complete body of supreme wisdom which had silently been waiting for its rediscovery, and few have ever had the ability or the courage to confront it. Many of the well-known masters who have disguised themselves as leaders in different fields of religious and philosophical thought have tried to resurrect ECK in the form of a mystery school. They failed, mainly, because the people of their times were not ready for it. We have had the same problem throughout the annals of world religious history. If one religion had grown stronger among the political figures and governments, then ECK had to remain underground because of the problems of persecution. Today, it has again appeared on the world scene and is somewhat ignored and persecuted because the leaders in various fields of religion, politics and government do not want to see it spread. They fear lest it should upset the religious economic balance of the world nation. Leaders like myself at the head of the present age ECK movement have all had the same problem as anyone who has established the true teachings. We are all put in the position of people approaching us wanting anything but God in their lives. This is the primary problem of life. Even Christ had to contend with this. People simply do not recognize these individuals as the God-men, the agents of the Sigmad, the Supreme Being manifested in flesh. In other words, they think in terms of what can be done for themselves, crippled, unhappy, the prisoners of the negative power, disillusioned with life, and without any source of income, they wearily make their way to the feet of the 85, gods, magicians, metaphysicians, and other wonder workers hoping for the miracle cure. The Godmen, who are actually the ECK masters, can do any miracle they desire, but seldom will, because it makes the witness believe in physical and psychic phenomena instead of following the true path to God. The true seekers of miraculous help find that, sooner or later, real spiritual assistance depends on their inner growth. The more that one is in the higher stages of development, the easier it is for any master to heal him, or give him some spiritual help. But those who are still in the non-survival stage can never find that miracle for which they seek throughout their lives. Instead, when reaching the Godman, they in desperation ask that he give them something to heal them, fill their empty purses and bring them material happiness. But the Godman gently reminds them that all he has to offer is a way to the Supreme Being, and what they want is not in his means to give. Most of them turn away sadly and keep seeking in hopes of finding that miracle which will be a cure-all. The Godman always does his miracles in silence, when few, if any, are watching. The healing, which is demanded of him by many, comes so quietly and mysteriously that those who are receiving it hardly recognize it until later. It was my privilege to sit in the company of Sudar Singh, the great ECK master, years ago when a man asked to be healed of arthritis in his feet. The master merely smiled and talked about something else, while the man impatiently insisted on being healed. Finally he gave up and left, but the limping gait he had when entering the ashram was gone. He now walked like a man without suffering and pain in the feet. His gait was that of a healthy person. The Godman has but one purpose in being here, to take those who desire back to their heavenly home again. This world is one of wars, pestilence and malignancy, which is the training ground for soul. When each is ready, the true master appears and prepares him by special training to make the ascent into the 86 higher worlds by learning to leave this state of physical consciousness while living in the body, and to dwell in the higher worlds. Every day the Keeler will spend time with the Godman in these higher realms, exploring them and learning what eternity is and how he will spend his life in it. Unless one is able to find the true master in this life, he will spend more lives, in future incarnations, perfecting himself until he reaches the stage where the path of ECK is opened for him to travel into the heavenly worlds. Finis 87.